Well, good morning. Welcome to our morning service here at Homegate on Sunday, the 26th of July. Before we look at our passage, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, as we open up your word this morning, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will come and dwell in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you'll lead and guide us through our passage this morning. I pray that you'll open our ears so that we can hear clearly, Lord. I pray that the words I use this morning are the words you want me to say. And I pray that all I say, Lord, may be honouring to you. Amen. So this morning we continue our series entitled Jesus, A Ransom Life. Now this is our final visit into the book of Mark as we pause our series. During August we will be looking at the Gospel in the Minor Prophets. But before we do, let's look at our passage in Mark 8, verses 1 through to 21 this morning. Now, if you're using an NIV Bible, then you can find the passage on page 1011. The passage is entitled, Jesus Feeds the 4,000. Now, you may have a sense of deja vu as today seems familiar. Just last month, we were in Mark 6 with Jesus feeding the 5,000. Now we come to a similar miracle in the feeding of the 4,000. You may well be wondering, why did Jesus perform this miracle twice? Why did God choose to have Mark record both of them? Jesus had already fed 5,000 with just a few loaves of bread. Why did he not go on to feed 6,000 more? 4,000 just doesn't seem quite as impressive. It kind of feels a bit of an anticlimax. So what can we learn from this? What is the point? So for the benefit of those who are here and with us, I'd like you to look at this picture for me, please. The picture is the marriage in Cana, painted by Pablo Veronese. The painting hangs opposite the Mona Lisa in the Louvre in Paris. Look at it for a moment and consider what its message means. Often within paintings you find deeper meanings. The longer you stop to look at the painting, the more you see. In the painting before you, there are 132 characters. There is a mass of activity going on everywhere. It looks chaotic. Now, if you look carefully enough, you'll see a figure in the centre. At the centre of everything, surrounded by the chaos, is Jesus. He gives the picture its meaning and its focus. He is what it is all about. But we aren't here to consider the meaning behind the painting. We are here this morning to consider the meaning behind this miracle. The meaning behind the miracle of Jesus feeding the 4,000. Jesus performed miracles out of love and compassion for the people. This was not the only reason. His miracles had a deeper meaning. They were meant to demonstrate that he was indeed the Messiah. He was the Messiah, he was the Son of God, he was Jesus Christ. They were also meant to teach spiritual truths as well. Jesus never used his miracles to benefit himself, not once. Jesus performed miracles in order to help other people. In fact, all that Jesus did, he did for others, even at a cost to himself. Whilst we see the awesome power of God at work in these miracles, we are also to look for the deeper meaning behind them. The deeper meaning that Jesus is trying to teach us through his miracles. So whilst this miracle appears a repeat, it is not less significant. Let's look for the meaning behind the feeding of the 4,000 now. Turn with me to our passage from Mark 8, 1 to 21. God again provides for all our needs. In Mark 8, in the first 10 verses, we read of Jesus feeding another great crowd. It reads, "During these days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, 'I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. His disciple answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Seven," they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks to them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 men were present, and having sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanuth. The first thing to notice is it's all very familiar, wouldn't you agree? There appears to be many similarities between the two passages, that of feeding of the 5,000 and now this feeding. The first similarity we see is right in the first verse. During those days, another large crowd had gathered. The last time a large crowd gathered was in Mark verse 34 of chapter 6. This was a crowd of over 5,000 men, women and children. Now there are familiar similarities within the two passages. Firstly, Jesus is teaching when a great crowd gather. Secondly, the crowd are hungry and are far from home. Thirdly, that Jesus has compassion on them. He talks about feeding them. Fourthly, they have a small amount of food, yet Jesus tells them to sit. Fifthly, Jesus gives thanks because his disciples distribute the food. And then finally, sixthly, everyone eats and is satisfied, and there are leftovers. So the lessons we can learn from these two miracles are similar, but we saw in the first miracle is comparable with this second one. In Phil's sermon from Mark 6, when Jesus fed the 5,000, Phil presented us with 3 episodes of care. These episodes demonstrated how Jesus cares and how he provides. For reference, these care episodes were identified as Jesus specifically caring about his disciples' emotional needs, Jesus specifically caring about the people's spiritual needs and their physical needs. What we learn is that Jesus is compassionate towards all people. When Jesus asks you to do something, despite it seeming impossible, you can do it because through God, anything is possible. God has no limits. His ability is limitless. God lacks nothing when it comes to resources. Now you may be wondering, but we learnt this from the first miracle. Why did Jesus have to perform this miracle twice? What was he trying to teach his disciples and us for a second time? I think the answer is simple. And I think it's pretty obvious. It is need. Again, there's a real need on the part of the people. Jesus recognised that the people were hungry and needed feeding. Look at verse 3. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. Jesus spotted that there was a need that needed to be met. Some of the people had been with him 3 days and had eaten nothing. Jesus cared about their physical needs, so he sought to find them food. This need also presented another opportunity for Jesus. It provided him with an opportunity to build the faith of his disciples. A faith, despite the many miracles, that still appeared to be lacking. Look at the response of the disciples in verse 4. His disciples answered, "Where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" Were the disciples forgetting something? What happened in Mark 6? What did Jesus feed the 5,000 people with? Where did that bread come from? They'd witnessed Jesus feed a crowd before, yet they questioned him. Where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? Well, the obvious answer, no one. No one but God. No human being can provide food for a crowd of this magnitude. But God can. Only God can. Once again, Jesus demonstrates that he is the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God, does what only God can do. He refused to provide bread for himself when alone in the wilderness, but he was willing and able to feed a great crowd in a remote location. Jesus responds to their question with a question of his own. How many loaves do you have? Jesus answered. Did this question from Jesus trigger any memories in the disciples? The disciples simply answered the question with seven. Between them, had seven loaves and over 4,000 mouths. Doesn't look good, does it? There clearly isn't enough. Surely they need more. You'd imagine, unflustered, Jesus says, okay. Then he commands the crowd to sit down on the ground. Surely the disciples now knew what was coming next. Look at the remainder of verse 6 and then verse 7. When he had taken the seven loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. Despite only seven loaves of bread, the disciples distributed the food. They distributed the bread amongst the crowd of 4,000. The disciples lacked faith once again. They lacked faith, even though they'd witnessed this mass feeding before. Perhaps we shouldn't be too hard on the disciples here. How many times has God provided for us in the past, yet we still struggle to trust in him providing for us in the present? I don't know about you, but I've experienced this struggle. God has always provided for me and the family. He's never let us down. Yet still there are times when I'm thinking, where are you, Lord? It recently became apparent that Ruth's contract would not be renewed. The contract that she had at Woodbridge was for just the 1 year. But we always prayed that it would be for longer. But due to the impacts of this coronavirus, very few jobs became available. As time went on, and despite encouraging Ruth with God's in control, with nothing to fear or worry about, we just have to trust him. Our human nature makes us doubt, even if it's just a little. What happens if he doesn't provide for us? What if his plans are different to ours? Then a couple of jobs become available, one in Tansley. Ruth applies, she's shortlisted, she attends an interview, and she's given the job the same afternoon. God is good. God does provide for all our needs. I must confess, I did run around like a lunatic when she told me. And come to think of it, that's not the first time I've behaved this way. Despite some other tricky situations we've faced, God has provided. God is not a one-stop shop when it comes to his provision. God can do any number of things as often as he sees fit. Look in the Gospel of Mark. He performs the same miracle twice. He who provided in the past can also provide in the present. He doesn't keep a record of how many times he's provided. Well, I helped you last week, so I can't help this week. It's somebody else's turn. No, God specifically cares for all our needs. He provides for all. Whether it's feeding 5,000 or 4,000, God meets the need. He provides for us all. This is the first lesson we can learn this morning. Secondly, we can learn that we don't need another sign. This is in contrast to the Pharisees who asked Jesus for a sign. Look at the next few verses. Look at verses 11 through to 16. They read, "The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, 'Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly I tell you, no sign will be given to you.' Then he left them, got back into the boat and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed this with one another and said, "Is it because we have no bread?" No sooner had Jesus finished performing his latest miracle, who should show up? Answer, the Pharisees. Typically, as we've seen throughout the book of Mark, the Pharisees and teachers continue to hound Jesus. They continue to watch his every move. They study him closely. Now, once again, they question Jesus. Verse 11. They want to test him, so they ask him for a sign from heaven. This was not a friendly encounter. The word tested could be translated to tempted. The Pharisees tempted Jesus to perform another miraculous sign. In the same way Satan tempted him to do so in the wilderness, they wanted a sign from heaven to authenticate his words. I guess some people are just never satisfied. They'll never be satisfied no matter how many signs God gives them. Look at Jesus' reaction. He sighed deeply. He must have started to lose patience with them. "Oh, you lot again." This attack and the unbelief it showed distressed Jesus. He was amazed at the unbelief and the audacity of these Pharisees. This demand for a sign was an extreme example of arrogance. An example of arrogance and pride the Pharisees had towards Jesus. It's almost like they were saying, "Okay, so you fed a crowd. Show us something bigger and better." No amount of miracles Jesus performed was enough for them. They wanted more. They wanted a sign. Jesus responds in verse 12. Why does this generation ask for a sign? "Truly I tell you, no sign will be given to it." Jesus refused to give them a sign. He'd had enough of them. The aims of his miracles were not for convincing hardened unbelievers. Instead, the aims of his miracles were to show the power of God. To show the power of God in the context of mercy. Believing that if people see enough signs, they'll come to faith is deluded. Those who believe this presume to know more than Jesus did. He condemned the generation who sought a sign. He was not going to give them what they wanted. With that, we can read in verse 13, he left them, got in the boat and crossed to the other side. The story now takes a turn as the boat moves away from the shore. Mark tells us in verse 14 that the disciples forgot to bring bread. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for the one loaf they had with them in the boat. They had just one loaf of bread left between them. What relevance does this have? Why was this included in the account? Perhaps the disciples were discussing this lack of food. Perhaps they were looking through their bags, rummaging for bread. Whatever the reasoning, Jesus gave the disciples a warning. He said, "Be careful," before then telling them, "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." This seemed to baffle the disciples. And to be honest, it does seem to be a strange response from Jesus. They had almost absolutely no idea what Jesus is talking about here. And because they have no idea, they assume he is referring to the bread. They assume it has something to do with forgetting to bring bread. Look at verse 16. It reads, they discussed this with one another and said, it is because we have no bread. But Jesus isn't talking about literal bread here. The yeast of the Pharisees has nothing to do with bread. Jesus here is talking symbolically. Yeast in the Bible is often used as a symbol of evil. A symbol of evil or a symbol of evil influence. In baking terms, yeast helps bread to rise. Bread without yeast is known as unleavened bread. You only need a very small amount of yeast. A small amount will make a lump of dough rise significantly. It's the same with sin. Sin spreads through its host, affecting the entire organism. Even just a small amount of sin will affect an entire church. An entire church, a nation, or the whole of a person's life. Galatians 5 verse 9 reads, a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. Sin often starts out small. It might just be a tiny thought, but it soon spreads. It soon affects your will and your actions. Eventually, it'll then lead you to spiritual death. The work of yeast is an illustration of the work of sin and pride. The presence of a little can corrupt a large amount. In our passage this morning, Jesus is essentially saying, be careful of the evil way and influences of the Pharisees and Herod. The Pharisees and Herod rejected Jesus. They did not believe in him. They had unbelieving hearts. This is evidenced by them asking Jesus for a sign. They don't believe what they've seen already. They don't believe what they've heard already. Despite the teachings and prior miracles of Jesus, they didn't believe. It's worth noting that Herod hadn't actually asked for a sign yet. He did so later on, and this request can be found in Luke 23, verse 8. People today are very much the same. They demand that God gives them a sign in order to believe. God already gave the most important sign to us all. He sent his Son. He sent his Son into the world who preached the kingdom of God. He demonstrated the truth of his words through his miracles, especially the miracle of his own resurrection from the dead. What more proof of Jesus' identity and mission do you need? You don't need to ask God for a sign. He's already given it. Jesus came into the world. Jesus died. Jesus rose from the dead. What more do you want? What more do you need? Jesus already gave us a sign. We don't need another. And this is the second lesson that we can learn this morning. Finally, we come to our third lesson this morning. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This final lesson points to the deeper meaning of the passage. It points us to the deeper meaning of Jesus' miracles. Verses 17 to 21 read, aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? Answered 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? Jesus asks his disciples a series of questions in this final section. Look at them, all of them. Now I can see 8 questions in total. He asks, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? Don't you remember? When I broke the 5 loaves, how many basketfuls did you pick up? When I broke the 7 loaves, how many basketfuls left were there? Do you still not understand? The constant questioning suggests Jesus isn't happy. It would appear on the face of it, Jesus is getting frustrated. He can't understand why the disciples still do not understand. Jesus is trying to make it clear that it's not about the bread. It was never about the bread. Jesus was using the yeast analogy to warn his disciples. He was warning them about the opposition of the Pharisees. He was warning them about the evil influence and evil ways. Jesus' miracles were not miracles for miracles' sake. His miracles had a deeper meaning. Jesus, through his questions, probed the disciples. He wanted them to think about the deeper meaning. The deeper meaning that this miracle, like with all the miracles Jesus performed, point to Jesus as the Son of God. Jesus does what only God can do. Jesus provides for all our needs in the same way God does. The disciples needed not worry about having only 1 loaf of bread. The key word here comes at the end of verse 18. It's remember. Jesus says, don't you remember? Look at verses 19 to 21. When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the seven loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? Seven, they answered. He said to them, do you still not understand? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he has done in the past, he will continue to do in the present and in the future. So if Christ has saved you, if you've accepted him as your saviour, if you've put your trust in him, then you needn't worry. Jesus has brought you to God and provided all that you need. He provided for you in the past, so you needn't worry about the future. Jesus fed a large crowd on two occasions in the book of Mark. God provided for an entire nation in the wilderness for 40 years. Be sure that God can take care of you and me as well. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So as we draw to a close this morning, let's just remind ourselves of some of the lessons we can learn. Firstly, God meets the needs of his people. Have you had cause for concern or worry lately? Well, we're living in difficult times. The pandemic is not going away. We've financial fears, pressures, emotional strains, like never before. But we need to take heart from the feeding of the 4,000. Remember who Jesus is and what he has done. He fed them once, he fed them again. He will feed us. God always meets the needs of his people. Secondly, God sent us a sign. We don't need another. Don't be a Pharisee wanting a sign when Christ has already come. Don't be like the disciples wondering if Jesus can do something twice. Don't focus just on the physical bread. Look for the deeper meanings. Look for the deeper meanings behind Jesus' miracles. Thirdly, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is God. He has not changed. What he has done before, he can do again. He has promised to meet your every need. He will continue to do so. One of my favourite lines in the hymn Before the Throne of God Above is, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. That is God. He is unchangeable. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And for those that trust in him, Christ is yours forevermore. Amen.